The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
The second half of the show is live and underway. We appreciate you being here. We've had a lot of interesting conversations, and we're not done yet. Christine Brennan, an hour from now from USA Today. We're joined by Gentry Essis right now from the Tennessean, the columnist there. So many things happening right now, Gentry, in college athletics, and we're trying to sort them out. It's early June. We're usually counting down to media days, which we still are. But what an incredible couple of weeks with NIL and the Alston ruling. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good to be with you, Paul. No doubt. I think the issue right now is just uncertainty. I think nobody really knows how this is all going to play out. You would say it's unprecedented, but it feels like we've kind of been here for the last year when you include the pandemic.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we exhausted all the adjectives, I think, from March until the beginning of the season, and then even once it got going. Let me ask you about NIL. We've had a few guests this week who are really a little bit older than you, but predicting disaster for college athletics as a result of this. I know everybody's excited, and all the young people are getting their time in the sun. Some are making real money, some are hoping to. But do you buy some of the theories out there that because there's no oversight, that there could be issues in the locker room, that this really could affect the current model that we have?
I think it will affect the current model that we have, but I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I think it'll be chaotic for a while. I think what ends up emerging, and not just from the name and likeness, but from a lot of how things have been going for the NCAA here in the last year or two, and the groundswell that's really built, I think you're going to eventually see a new model for college sports. Now, I don't know if that's NCAA or something else. I truly believe that, and I think what ends up emerging from it will be very good in the long run. I think this particular situation it's going to be messy for a while because nobody really knows what to expect. And I think when you talk to the people in college sports, I don't think they're terrified of this. I think there's a curiosity there. And if they are scared of anything, it's just the uncertainty of it, because the NCAA has done such a terrible job trying to get out in front of this issue, like they have other issues, really. And to me, I think a lot of the doomsday predictions that you're hearing just come from the idea of, look, we don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and say this is a disaster, because I don't think it is.
Chatting with Gentry Essis, and Gentry, on that front, it doesn't seem like anyone wants any real serious change at the top of the NCAA. We've had that debate. Mark mm-hmm. Emmert continues to cash a big check, and whether anybody likes him or not, he may be there just to prevent somebody else from being there. But what happens with the NCAA? Because there doesn't seem to be any oversight, and the schools don't know what to do. So what's going to happen here?
No, I mean, at some point, something's going to have to give. Just because, what good does the NCAA do anymore, Paul? That they, in terms of infractions enforcement, look at what's happening with basketball. This has been going on for years. There's still no resolution there, no timetable for when that's going to happen. You've had some real players in college sports get disillusioned by that process. They can't put on championships effectively anymore. Look at what's happened with the discrepancy in the men's and women's basketball tournaments this year. You had a golf regional that was just canceled controversially. It seems like they can't do that without incident anymore. And now, really, what the NCAA primary objective here is to allow the system of colleges and universities to hide behind the concept of amateurism, to not have to pay players and not allow them to share in. And now you're going, as that starts changing with this name and likeness issue, as well as whatever else could be coming, you look at the NCAA and you wonder, what good are they doing?
They're making money. That's what they're doing.
They're making money for the colleges and universities, so they don't have to share with the athletes. But that that's changing. The concept of amateurism now goes away at this point. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like by sports. And I think the NCAA, they serve the purpose organizationally. And I think that, as you mentioned with Mark Emmert, I agree. I think he's there, so no one else is. So
yeah, but
how that changes.
Gentry, let me ask you about the whole structure of college athletics, because we were jumping up and down a month ago when we were told that the college football playoff, surprisingly, shockingly, was going to expand to 12. And then they all met a couple of different times and said, hold on a second, we got a lot to do here. I mean, it's almost like, yeah, we blame Emmert, but you know, this bureaucracy exists everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, look, I think it's just from the standpoint of being reactive rather than proactive. This name, image, and likeness stuff has been out there for a long time, Paul, and the NCAA had a very long time to try to get its act together and get a plan together and give some guidance to the universities that quite frankly need it on this issue. And they turn in an assignment at the last second, just kind of saying, okay, it's here, and the it just seems like with a lot of the very serious issues that continue to pop up in college sports, the NCAA does not, I don't know if it is bureaucracy, red tape, whatever, that keeps them from being proactive and being in front of these things, but they're just not.
Let's talk about things closer to home. We're just days away from the SEC media days, which, yeah. It's still not going to be everything that we're used to, but the season looks normal. In terms of media days, which is just around the corner, I mean, once we get past the fact that it will be a little bit different and we won't have the, I don't think we'll have those 1,000 Alabama fans waiting in the lobby there. Maybe they'll be there anyway. What are you most curious about when that thing convenes a week from Monday?
That's a good question. As you are, Paul, I'm kind of a veteran with SEC Media Day, so there's probably not a – I've seen the show. I think it goes to what we're talking about. I think there's so many issues right now that you do wonder which coaches feel strongly for, against, name, image, likeness, that kind of thing. One thing I'm particularly interested about is how coaches are planning to adjust managing the public element of the program for their players as a result of this. Just to give you an example, is you know Nick Saban doesn't allow freshman players to speak with the media. You are now entering a scenario where somebody could recruit against Alabama for that now.
Right.
Because image is going to be so important, and you're talking about, you know, players can benefit from their own celebrity, from the social media aspect of it, and you know, so does a coach like Nick Saban, who has done it this way for a long time with an awful lot of success, have to revisit that strategy in terms of, you know, freshman players with the media, what players are able to do on social media, that kind of thing? And it's not just Nick Saban. I think a lot of what you're going to see here with the name, image, and likeness is this is a very individual, very selfish thing sometimes with social media. It's about promoting your own brand, which is very much against a team first strategy that even coaches hate that.
So if you had to look at the SEC coaches, the 14, who do you think will deal with this the best and who will struggle?
I don't know who'll struggle. I think the honestly,
well, you mentioned Saban. I mean, what about him?
I mean, it's a good question. I would say that I think the coaches that'll do well with this are the coaches that do well, period. They're the ones who've thought about this and they've gotten ahead of it. Maybe Nick Saban doesn't, but if he's overwhelmed by this topic, it would be the first time I think I've seen him overwhelmed by a topic.
I could give you one or two other examples, but not.
I think somebody like Lane Kiffin would flourish over this because he seems to understand social media about as well as anybody in sports.
I mean, Saban doesn't even tweet.
That's right. True. And you would imagine, yeah, a coach like Lane Kiffin, I think, is perfectly positioned given the fact that he completely grasps how to build a following on Twitter – how to be entertaining, how to constantly be a part of the conversation by what you put on there. He's as good as anybody.
Let me close with two schools in your state. You live in Nashville. You got Clark Lee, who, you know, came in riding a pretty good horse, but compared to what Vanderbilt has been doing, I'm not sure anyone would compare unfavorably. And Josh Heupel, who, you know, did not exactly kill the press conference, primarily because his athletic director never stopped talking. How are those two coaches doing, and what do you expect?
You know, we'll see how they're doing. I think from, you know, in spring practice, Tennessee had an entertaining spring game. The offense looked good. It was kind of the what you hang your hat on with that hire, that Josh Heupel was going to come in and play an exciting brand of offense and score some points. They probably will. But I think it's going to be a long year for both schools. I just you look at it and it's hard to see it going very well this first year. I think it's going to require a lot of patience in both cases. I think Vanderbilt's roster was in really bad shape by the end of last season, just with various attrition, and you know they're going to have to rebuild substantially, I think, to get back to a level where they can be a 500 team in the league. Quite frankly, I don't think they're close to that. And I think, you know, Tennessee, they were better than a 2-win team a year ago. They had some talent on that team, but the thing is, most of the talent that would have been coming back has transferred. They lost several really key guys from a team that probably needed some help anyway. And I think there's probably more talent still there than the Vols are going to get credit for in the preseason, but it's a really tough ask, I think, in this first year. I think, you know, I think both of those coaches are going to need some time.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and we'll see you in a couple of days or a week or so. Appreciate you being here. Up against the break, 855-242-7285. We are back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we're back here, and more of your phone calls. We have a busy guest list, so we haven't had a lot of time. So 855-242-7285 is the number. Let's get back to the calls, and we check in with Chris, who is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Appreciate it.
I had a question for you. You know, it looks like a lot of guys are signing small deals. I say small, but local deals. You know, Bo Nix recently signed with Milo's. And at what point will we start seeing these guys sign big contracts? Like, when will they be able to be an advertised figure for Nike, Under Armour? Like, at what point will that happen? And will that then start really putting motivation in guys' mind to say, hey, I want to build a brand for myself, so let's go to to the school that's going to help me build a brand and get that Nike deal or that Under Armour deal or that McDonald's deal.
I think what we've seen for the most part so far is fairly small. And I know, I mean, I've looked at a list of Alabama and Auburn players, a couple other ones, and it's primarily social media. There's a couple of other things in there that the companies are doing. But, yeah, I do think you're going to see big money deals at some point. We have heard that the big companies are waiting. They're trying to sort this out because this thing did happen pretty quickly. And any big corporation does not make financial decisions overnight.
Right, that makes sense because, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, this year in college football, I mean, it's kind of a question mark. There's a lot of big names left last year. And so, but imagine, you know, what kind of deals the Trevor Lawrences of the world and the Tua.
But Chris, can you imagine though a player, I mean, going back a couple of years, I mean, we've seen a couple of guys come out of nowhere and win the Heisman, Johnny Manziel being one. And, you know, what happens to that super, the guy you've never heard of? He has a huge game on the first weekend and then becomes a major celebrity. Those are the ones you have to keep your eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. Because those guys, I mean, you're talking about one big game can change. You can make some life-changing money.
Absolutely.
Based off having a few good games. And then how is that going to affect players? Because
I don't know. I mean, I've heard intelligent people. We just heard one. We've heard others earlier who have completely different views on this. And I think the SEC Media Days is going to be a 4-day event on NIL. I think you're going to get coaches opining. Now, remember, these coaches, though, may not be telling you what they really think because right. I don't think a coach can get up there and can afford to come out and be critical of NIL. There's too much on the line right now. There's a players right now with social media, I mean, they are all over the place. I just saw a player tweet something about a particular school's view of marijuana. And a player ended up leaving a school recently. I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds here. It's a pretty well-known player, and we talked about it. And I'm assuming it had something to do with the drug policy. And then another player just tweeted out, if you smoke weed, you don't need to be going to this particular school. Now think about that. And I mean, this is not 1965 where you go to jail if you get caught with marijuana. By the way, the tweet was immediately taken down, but that's not the point. It's a serious situation, and you're going to see a lot of conversation on that front. So, you know, keep your eyes on this story. Let's check in with Joe, who is up next. Hey, Joe. Good afternoon. Joe, you there? Well, I don't hear Joe. Maybe
Hello.
Everybody else does. We'll try that in a minute. Let me try another call. How about Bubba? Bubba, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I said, you know, I think that this is this NIL is just a reflection of the society we live in, where everyone is looking for something for nothing and it feels entitled to it. Now, I'm not saying them boys that play football shouldn't earn a little bit more money and have a little bit better life. But, you know, the solution to that may be what the fellow down in Miami did when he gave everybody on the varsity football team $500. I think that an equitable way to do this would be for the schools to set up an amount that they're going to give their football players or their athletes a stipend for, and everybody get the same stipend. And that would make it equitable
remember
for everybody.
Something here, and I understand where you're coming from, but every player gets a stipend as it is. It's called the cost of attendance, a couple of thousand dollars. So that's already in the wash. Now, the universities don't have the ability to make a unilateral decision here. These laws, the one in Alabama where you live, involves and deals with the individual, not the school.
Uh-huh.
So you know, it's about the individual. And I know I'm just giving you the bylaw. I'm not saying I agree, because your point is a good one. But, you know, that horse is out of the barn already.
Uh-huh. Well, I just think that, you know, everybody's looking for a way to get something for nothing that they don't have. Now, whether they're entitled to it or not,
well,
you know.
But let me ask you a question, though. If you're 18 years old and you have a chance to make a couple of $1,000s, should you not take advantage of it?
In a heartbeat. But does one player who works his fanny off just as hard as another player does?
Well, I agree with you, but, you know, I work for a big company, and somebody once told me, you're paid what they think you're worth, and nothing else really matters. Don't apologize for it. Don't complain about it. And in this case, it's about whatever somebody wants to get pay somebody else. It's not about the team. And that therein lies the problem, according to many people. How about Joe, who was up next? Let's try you again, Joe.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, we hear you now.
Yeah, that guest you had on earlier named Keith.
Keith Donovan.
Yeah, he's, he was making a lot of sense on what he said, just like that, what was his name, Terrence
Moore.
It sounded to be like harbingers of bad news, you know? But you mentioned Nick Saban during the conversation.
Right.
I think you brought it up, not him, right? I mean, that, you know, like, I think, you know, Saban is getting, you know, getting on up there in age, and I don't think it's going to take much for Saban to be set off and just walk out of there in a fit of rage. You know,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, listen, nobody's adapted more to change in college athletics in the last 20 years than Nick Saban, but this is different. This goes against everything, all of his principles. And he'll say the right thing, because he knows he's speaking to future recruits. But how he deals with it is another story behind closed doors.
I mean, doesn't he own a car dealership or something?
Yes, already? He does. Mercedes.
I mean, he could probably get players to advertise for his car dealership, right? I mean,
well, if he thought that was, but I'm sure he. The way cars are selling these days, I don't think you need any players to be advertising.
Probably not.
I was in a car lot a couple of months ago, and they barely had anything in stock.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like everything else, you know, getting harder to find. Well, thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Well, thank you. Yeah, again, I think Saban is the most interesting person, forgetting, you know, his fame and success. But yeah, you just can't assume that he's going to deal with it well privately, because he's a process-oriented coach. He's a one-voice coach. He doesn't let his assistants talk. He doesn't let freshmen talk. He doesn't let players tweet. And now all these players are out for themselves. It's quite an interesting situation. We are going to talk more about it. A couple of guests already this week have said it's the end of the world as we know it. Disaster. Your phone calls are welcome, and we have a good bit of time here to get your calls in on the show. And the phone number is 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Continue with more phone calls on what's been a really interesting and entertaining Friday afternoon. Ted is up next. Hey, Ted.
Hello.
Ted, you there?
Paul?
Yeah, go right ahead. Thank you for the call.
Here. Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
I'm a long-time listener, but never called before.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Well, I guess my concern is a legitimate concern, and then, like I said, I've never called. But on the flip side, all this name, image, and likeness is good in a sense. But on the flip side, I call it the silent majority of people that are just, they love sports, they love college for what it is. And I see gloom and doom, and believe me, I've made my life and made a living, a good living, out of thinking about what the market is bringing. But this is the biggest cluster F I've ever seen in my life. And the thing about it is most people, I call it, like I said, the silent majority, we're just sitting there looking at this and going, well, wait a minute. this is not what I signed up for. Collegiate athletes, and, you know, I was recruited from Lou Holtz at the University of Arkansas. But it doesn't mean anything to me now that if we're going to do this, then we're going to move right off the bat directly into, okay, pay for play. That's what we're doing. And then, okay, I don't like pro football. Why don't I like pro football? Because I don't like everything that goes along with it. But the collegiate footprint, and we get on the NCAA all the time, but on the flip side, they've done a lot of great things. But I'm a gloom and doom.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That's my point.
Well, you know, what's happened here is I think most reasonable people have wanted to see athletes today get something. And then the media has gone all in, and I've been in favor of this. I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but the media has taken it to such an extreme that there really isn't a debate. Nobody that's against it has been heard. And what I've heard this week are some legitimate people raising these issues, and they're not getting an audience very many places, though, because nobody wants to hear this. But there are some real concerns.
And I don't think it's an audience. And trust me, I've made my living on being a good listener. And what I ask people to do is actually listen to what's going on. And I listen to talk shows every day. I'm semi-retired now. But on the flip side, it's like it's the county fair just opened and never opened again. And I sit there and listen to all the stuff they're spewing around. I go, oh, this is going to be so much better for college. But no, it's not. There are consequences to your decisions. Decisions already been made. So now we're in it. And that's my concern. That's only my concern.
Well, some of it's our fault. I mean, we've had countless people on here celebrating everybody cutting a new deal. And we had a guest on the other day, I think it was from Birmingham, who was basically, turning this into a political event as if the Berlin Wall had come down.
Oh, absolutely. That's my point. It's like, okay, but they don't understand. If I quit listening to talk show radio or talk show or quit watching collegiate games, where does the money come from? It comes from damn people like me.
No, you're right. I mean, ultimately, the biggest revenue in college athletics is television money. And tickets are important, that's where the hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars come from.
Without the fan, you don't exist.
No, I totally agree with you.
And
you need both. You need people at home watching, but you also need people to go to the games.
Oh, absolutely, and I do that too. But what I'm saying is, they're heading down a path now that I don't know if it's going to come back. Matter of fact, I predict in 2 years that it'll be all paid players. We'll unionize, and that's what's going to happen.
I was talking to somebody today who said that we're not far from it was yesterday. It was a lawyer down in Florida. He said we're not far from this happening in high school.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. It just goes on and on. And I don't know. I mean, I'm too old. I'm way too old, but anyway. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to my concerns, but other than that, it was a concern.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Thank you very much. Yeah, there's a lot of negativity about this today, and we have not heard this until now. or much of it until now. Jared is up next. Hey, Jared.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, with the whole NIL stuff, you know, colleges have, you know, for over 100 years made money off these players, and a lot of these players, especially nowadays, you know, they come from a lot of poor families. Would it not be better for the players might play better if they know that they're taken care of and maybe their families, you know, getting taken care of a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, to me, if you go to play college athletics, you're playing for a lot of reasons, but mm-hmm. especially if you're good, you're playing for an opportunity to continue playing at a higher level.
Yeah, and I get that, but, you know, it's the coaches and everybody, they're making money, and I'm sure they take care of their players and stuff like that, but I just feel like it would be, for some of these players, a better peace of mind to, you know that they're taken care of off the field.
Well, you just said it. Once coaches started making such big money, it became harder to explain why the players got nothing in return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, there's just so much money being – because college football is huge. I love college football, and I definitely don't want it to go away. It's probably the best sport right now to watch anyway. But, you know, I think it's more on the NCAA and, you know, all the people that have just been pocketing millions and millions of dollars to adapt to this. And it might be time for the players to start making money like they agreed to now. So that's
well,
just my
opinion. It's a really good point. And listen, I primarily cover college football at a reasonably high level. And there is money everywhere you go. We had a guy on earlier today that said Georgia has just spent $200 million on a facility upgrade. We're not talking about the stadium. We're talking mm-hmm. about practice fields and offices. $200 million.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, so, you know, even the smaller schools, the athletic programs, they're huge, and they pay for a lot of stuff. So, you know, I think I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I think college football, if anything, it could be some sort of farm league for the NFL or whatever, you know. And because you see in the NBA, people are skipping college athletics and stuff, college basketball.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the biggest – I think college basketball is in dire straits.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think, you know, even if they're getting small deals from, like, Milo's and stuff like that, if it guarantees them to still play at your college, I think you should be all for it because – now that money is available, they're going to get it no matter what.
Well, I had a former coach text me today about somebody who – and the person asked me about there's a particular person out there who there's rumors about making seven figures on a deal. And this coach – and I asked her, I said, how would you coach that person?
I mean, yeah, that's very true.
Who's making more than the coach. I know that happens in the NFL, but – it's never happened in college sports before.
I would figure with a player of that stature that he's probably going to one of the Power Five schools anyway. So I don't think if he was making more than a coach, he'd be making that much.
No, I remember. I remember a couple of years ago, about I can't remember when it was. Ben Simmons had just gotten to LSU, and he was in our studio, and we were talking to him. And I didn't really know where to go because you knew the guy was just like counting down the days he could, you know, beginning to end of the season so he could become a zillionaire. And he had no more interest in going to class at LSU. He just dropped in there and dropped out as fast as he could.
Yeah, because, I mean, since they're starting to make money, you don't know when the rule is.
By the way, I don't blame them. If you're about to make $25 million a year, are you really concerned about making sure you get your books? Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading for a break. Christine Brennan, final hour. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Mark is up next as we continue with phone calls here on a busy, busy Friday afternoon. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm a first-time caller. I just want you to know I enjoy your program.
Well, thank you very much.
I am a diehard – you're welcome. I'm a diehard Michigan Wolverine fan.
Oh, my.
And, you know, I know it. And I live here in Alabama, too.
That's pretty amazing. That's crazy.
I watched the games. I was the only person sitting in a bar when Alabama done whooped up on us over at Dallas Stadium, Texas Stadium.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Boy, it was hard. But I'm learning a lot about this NIL thing by listening to your program, and I just kind of wanted to bring up the Fab Five. Think about what those kids could have made.
You mean more than they already made?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it ruined the program for 10 years.
I've become friends with Jalen Rose, and I mean, I'm to the point where I'm tired of him defending what happened back then.
Yeah, I watched that 30 for 30 thing that they did on ESPN.
Right.
Because Jalen Rose was my favorite player back then. I kind of understand it because these kids have nothing. I mean, granted, they are given a lot by the university, but, you know, to want to have some walking around money, I can understand that.
You always have to put yourself in the shoes of somebody that age.
Yeah, yes, sir. You know, I was his age at that time, and, you know, I had to have a job so I had walking around money so I could buy myself shoes or take my girlfriend out to a movie or dinner, you know, and, you know, I don't think it will hurt the, you know, college sports. I at least I hope it don't. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes and what kind of opportunities it does open up to these kids that are, you know, athletes coming in. And, you know, I don't see how it could hurt, but it could. You know, I don't.
I think initially it's an exciting situation, but nobody knows really where it's going, and I think that's the most interesting part of it. And until we can figure
out,
and my biggest concern is that it's just going to escalate rampant cheating, and everyone's going to shrug their shoulders, and those who can figure out how to beat the system the best will be successful.
Yeah, there's rampant cheating already.
No question, but there's at least now there are policemen out there who just look the other way. We're essentially going to have college athletics with no policemen.
Yes, we are, because I like the idea, because the Fab Five, they made the University of Michigan just a ton of money, you know, and they were using their names and likenesses, you know, and God knows how much money Nike made off them at that point in time too, you know. And you know, Jalen kind of said it best in that thing that they did. You know, he's like, hey, you know, all these people are making money off me, where's mine?
Well, look at it now. You know, I mean, here's Jalen Rose, one of the most prominent figures in the media. His teammate is coaching the team. It's pretty remarkable, you know, 30 years later.
Yep. Oh, I love Juwan Howard. I thought that was a great hire by the University of Michigan to come in there and take over for Beeline. And I like the direction the basketball program's going. I'm hoping they can get the football program back, because I listened to the show you did, and talking about the what was it, kind of like college dynasties, and that one guy, he was having a tough time, you know, including Michigan in that. And, you know, I kind of understood that too, because the past 10 years we've really kind of tanked it with, you know, the hiring of certain coaches. And,
I thought it was a great decision to hire Jim Harbaugh. And, but I don't, people think I hate Harbaugh. I don't hate Harbaugh at all. I think I was a big fan of his. I just think sometimes you can just be somewhere and it not work out. And that's exactly what I think is happening right now.
They're
sticking with him.
Yeah, I agree with that too, because for some reason the kids don't seem to want to stay, and they don't seem to want to play.
I mean, Michigan should. Thanks for the call, very much. Michigan should not take a backseat to anyone. Hate to run. We are running right into the top of the hour. Christine Brennan, longtime columnist and commentator, will join us in a minute. We'll talk a little bit about this. We'll look ahead to the Olympics, which start 2 weeks from now. And also continue with more of your calls in the final hour.